Yes.
I guess for me, it's like, you know, I keep hurting myself with loaning people money, you know, and it devastates me financially, you know, and so anyway, that's what happened. I prayed really hard all day long, meditated, and what I got is just come here tonight, and when I walked in, what you were talking about, it was like, wow, you know, but yeah, it's like, but the word that I got is like, you know that rescuer part of me. You know, they say this archetype is played out. I don't know what it is, rescuer, victim, or something like that. You know, I must be caught in that archetype or that polarity. And somehow that codependent part of me can override me and codependent my intuition, like you said.
Yeah, definitely. Intuition is like the quietest, most subtle voice. And if you really want to be good at it, you have to have no attachment. So if you have money that you would miss if you don't get it back, you have attachment. So a lot of times, you know, I'll do muscle testing demos in a class just to show people how cool it is. And people always say, oh, you can muscle test yourself. I'm like, I never do that. I can override most people's energy. Again, of course, what I do for a living is play with energy all day. I get to spend hours in meditation and learn things most people don't have time for. So I know I can override other people's energy really easy. What are the chances I'm going to give myself a truthful answer? Right? So I never self-test. Because I have attachment to that outcome. I can muscle test for other people. I can have intuitive hits for other people really, really clearly. But the minute I have attachment, I don't go there. So does that help you a little bit? Your attachment to outcome will always override this quiet voice of intuition. Always.
I think you just said it so well. You know, I'm sort of mirroring what you said. It's I've always been empathetic, but just like you said, it's gotten deeper. And then I confuse. I think it's kind of a belief system that's overriding intuition. You know, like I should help this person because I can feel their pain or their situation, and I'm overriding the fact that, number one, they're not going to be able to pay me. I need the money. And they created their own problem in the first place. It's not my responsibility, you know. So I think it's the belief systems around empathy that have hurt me.
Yeah, and empathy is great. But there's no intuitive saying, put yourself in distress to help somebody, ever. The intuitive voice will never give you that. An intuitive voice, because you're here for your experience, an intuitive voice will never put you at risk and harm, ever. Not physically. An intuitive voice will help you save somebody, help you save yourself from harm. But that inner knowing, because survival is a very important thing. But the intuitive thing is going to look at all the factors, everything going on, and give you information. Now, yeah, what you're talking about is a little different. Whatever you're here to evolve through, you're going to get invited to play in over and over and over till you heal it. But that is way separate from intuition, which is what was brought up. Does that make sense? So you'll notice that the people who borrow money from you change, but the feeling place is not changing. And so until you heal it and say no and feel good about your no, which may take a few practices, you'll keep having people show up who will need money and not be able to pay you back. Does that make sense? So way different thing than intuition. Okay. Anybody else, any questions or comments on it? Yeah. So I would suggest games. If you want to develop your intuitive knowing, do it on things that don't matter. Develop your skill set. If you're going to develop a skill in something athletic, would you go into a championship game if you didn't have the skill for it? No, you just wouldn't set yourself up like that. You would start with, you know, something easy. Or you'd start with a coach, or you'd start by yourself, or you'd start with, you know, friends, until you build a skill set to get really competitive. So again, intuition, if you start with it on things that don't matter at all, but the best way for humans to develop it is keep a log. Find out how many times you're right on things that don't matter. And then when you know you can trust it, then you can go for it. And then you can expand it a little and utilize it more. And most of it is just a matter of paying attention.
Yeah, that's paying attention.
Paying attention and slowing down and taking a breath. You know,
at first, like when you mentioned that, I didn't know if it would be a really good thing to tap on because I was like, it's kind
me
of
too. I was right
like,
there
it's
with
kind
you.
Of big, but I think it's really good because it's like, it's kind of like what you're saying. It's like when you hear, there's some part of you saying, this isn't good for me, but I'm going to keep doing it because that's my pattern. And that's like part of that psychological reversal that, like, if you can help to balance your energy, then you're going to be more. I think that's going to help you to listen to that intuition more.
But again, as with anything else, if you don't go after it as a skill you want to develop and you don't practice it in a systematic way that you can give your mind information on it, you're not going to get good at it. So tapping will clears energies that might block you, but it never gives you a skill. So tapping can clear anxiety of speaking, but you're not going to be a great speaker unless you go learn how to do that.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Make sense?
I think it'll help you to, if you can get rid of a lot of that reversal, it'll help you to act on your intuition. It won't help you to necessarily develop.
That's it. And so you just have to want it enough to keep playing with it.
Yeah.